Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where it is very cold today, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show scheduled for you today. I am hoping that my co-host Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself, shows up in a few minutes. I don't see her yet. Rhonda, are you there by chance? There she is. Hello, Miss Rhonda. Hello, Miss Rhonda. How are you? Miss Rhonda, are you there? Well, hopefully we can figure out what's going on with our dashboard and I can get Miss Rhonda unmuted. We just lost Rhonda. Hopefully she comes right back. Bear with me while we get the show underway today. Today we're going to be talking about leadership. Yeah, Rhonda just sent me a message saying that she's calling right back. Well, what a great way to start out the new year. Technical glitches. Always fun for things like that to happen. There she is.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you!
I really, truly love technology, but boy, some weird things happen sometimes. I was trying
sometimes
to get
they
like,
do.
Yeah, I feel like I was in limbo there for a couple minutes, like, I really am here, I promise.
I could see you, I just couldn't hear you.
Right, and then I called back, and then it was like I was off in la-la land for a minute waiting for it to switch in. So anyway, I'm here. I'm really sorry. I don't want you to feel like I had dropped the ball or something. I was trying.
I didn't feel like that even a little bit.
Oh, well, good, good, good. I'm really glad to at least to know that you didn't think your co-host had abandoned you.
Oh, I know you would never do that, Rhonda. That is just so not you. Did you have a new year that was as amazing as mine was?
My new year, I know, is going to be an amazing year. My new year celebration was just very quiet. I enjoyed it a lot. What did you do to celebrate?
Oh, I have got to tell you about my New Year's Eve. It was amazing.
Oh,
we started
out
the new year at my favorite little Italian restaurant called Anthony's by the Sea. Had a wonderful Italian dinner on the beach in Fort Myers Beach. And as the sun started setting, the folks on the beach started lighting up these lanterns.
Ooh.
They were about 3 feet tall, and they're made of paper, and they have a little metal ring on the bottom, and in the center of it is a candle. And they would light the candle, and as the candle would start burning in the center of this big paper lantern, the lantern would fill up with hot air from the candle's flame. And it would cause the lantern to get up off the ground and soar up into the sky. Well, by the time the sun set, there were hundreds of these lanterns, red, purple, blue, green, white, all over the sun, the beautiful sea-like sky with the colors of the rainbow in it. It was absolutely amazing. So as Bill and I are watching all of these lanterns, I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, since they're paper lanterns, people should be writing their goals for the new year on these lanterns as they let them go up into the sky. How cool would that be? They didn't. So we got done with dinner, watched the lanterns. Then we went to Naples, the pier, to go watch the first set of fireworks. Well, the paper said they were going to shoot them off at 8. They started them early at 7:30, so we caught the tail end. So I said, you know, well, let's just go back up to Fort Myers Beach and see if we can go find one of those lanterns. So we go back up to Fort Myers Beach, and I find the guy that's selling these lanterns. I think he sold almost 20,000 lanterns that weekend. It was amazing. So Bill and I grab our marker out of the car. We write our goals on it, and we let ours go off on the beach. It was beautiful. Well, at midnight, they started a half hour worth of fireworks in Fort Myers Beach. When the fireworks started, there were almost 2,000 lanterns in the sky behind the fireworks.
Oh.
It was absolutely breathtaking, Rhonda. Absolutely incredible. I was mesmerized by these things for 2 hours.
Well, guess where I'm coming this at the end of this year to celebrate the new year?
I've never seen anything like it. It was the most amazing New Year's I've ever spent.
Wow. Wow.
If you go look on my Flickr account, flickr.com/JVQueen, FLICKR.com/JVQueen, you'll see some great pictures of the fireworks. And behind it, the little specks in the sky are all of these big paper lanterns.
Oh,
what a weekend.
Oh,
my goodness.
I love that. And, you know, I would love to have some of those lanterns for being able to do like a retreat or a workshop or a weekend type of thing or whatever, where setting your goals and setting them free can be a part of that. That's just really cool.
It would be. Bill and I said the same thing. Kevin Wilkie of Nitro Marketing does an event called The Journey to Enlightened Entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And that 5-day live event ends that the last night with walking on fire. Can you imagine after a firewalk setting those lanterns off with your goals written on them? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be just
amazing. It was $10 to buy each lantern, so $20. But what a great $20 that was.
Oh, who cares? That's worth it. That's worth it. Because it's the experience. It's not just the lantern, and then you let it go, and you don't even have the lantern anymore. But what an experience to see all of those going up together. And it's just such a great reminder. Really, everyone is like a little speck of light, and we all have
exactly.
so much off the world. And we really do need to set ourselves free and go and do and be what we're meant to into the world.
So that's exactly what we did. We wrote our goals for the new year on them and set them free and let them go flying into the air.
Awesome.
Make for an awesome 2012, I'm telling you what.
Yes. Oh, yeah, really, that is fabulous. Well, I did not do anything at all like that. I was just quietly here in my home, staying off of the windy, twisty roads.
You don't normally do that kind of thing. That's probably the first time in my life that I did something like that, but it was really, really neat.
Yeah. Well, that is beautiful. Can't wait to go and check out those pictures. Wow, love it.
And just so you know, 2 weeks from today, Robert and Terry Taltry will be here in Florida with me for the show.
Oh, yay! Oh, how cool is that?
Yes, they will get here probably end of next week, Thursday-ish of next week, and they'll be with me for about 10 days.
Oh, I love that. That is just fabulous. That is great.
I'm so looking forward to it.
I had an opportunity to meet them when I went through Denver last year on my way to Adam Urbanski's event in California, and I was wonderful to be able to meet them and share a meal and conversation, and I had never met them in person. And for all the months and over a year that we've been working together, I had never met them, which is pretty common in the stuff that we do. But it was so wonderful to meet them in person, hug them, be with them, spend time heart to heart, and it was great.
Well, I'm really looking forward to their visit, so it will be really fun.
Yes. They have been on our show from time to time before, and wonderful things are going on for them. And their website is howtoliveonpurpose.com, howtoliveonpurpose.com. So folks who want to really go, gosh, I need to do what I'm meant to do with my life, I need to step it up a notch or whatever, would love to check out that website.
Absolutely. What a great thing to do as you start the new year. Pay
yes.
attention to their 21-day I Am a Gift to the World adventure, which is just really cool. You'll find it at askggg.com/challenge. Really great thing to do as you get started with your goals and reaching them for 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really is. That's great. And that's going to be a beautiful experience for you. It definitely is an adventure. I love that, calling it an adventure. How cool is that?
They're going to actually rebrand the whole thing as a quest. And I'm so excited about them calling it a quest instead of a challenge, because it really is a quest.
I am too. I actually said that way back when they were first starting it. So it's really funny. It's like, oh, they're going to call it a quest now. Very good.
And they're getting rid of the secret agent terminology. They're trying to come up with what to call people instead of secret agents. We're leaning toward purposeful warrior.
Mm-hmm.
It is a purpose quest.
You can do that. You can call them seekers.
I suggested seeker as well, but in the Native American culture, a vision seeker is someone going on a very specific kind of quest that actually has some sacred things
right.
behind it. And they really hesitated calling people seekers because of that.
Right, because of the vision quest. Yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will then think on what else they might call. I was thinking in the language of the hero's journey and, of course, the rich mythologies and cultures.
Exactly where
I
was coming from.
Right. So, you know, to me, that seeker would be anyone who's on that path of bringing out the hero inside of them. And so.
Mm-hmm. Same thing I thought of.
I will put my mind onto that task of seeing what other name that I can come up with to throw into the mix in case they haven't decided yet.
Oh, they haven't. So that would be great. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. It's really fun to be able to take a little time here and give some updates on people that have been on our show, because as we know, time passes and things happen, and it's nice to know the kinds of things that people are doing. So this is really exciting. The tall trees have had what they used to call their 21-day I Am a Gift to the World challenge, and which is beautiful. And so now they're taking the same thing, rebranding it, expanding it a little bit from my understanding, and kind of reshaping it.
Exactly.
And so
we've got a pretty good show planned for today, too, don't we?
Yes, we do. Talking about leadership. And so that's really great to stop and consider what leadership means. When you have your own business, a lot of times people talk about leadership and they're thinking about being the leader of a group at somebody's job, or the leader of maybe a church group or an organization, or that type of leadership. But leadership really is also what you as the expert in your niche are providing for your tribe. Right.
Good way to say it.
Yeah. And so when I was, kind of planning out things to talk about, as well as the guests that we'll be having, of course, always guests and different things. But I also like to combine having the guests come in with also sharing some of the material that we've had in our past so that we can kind of reignite that. And we did, there's going to be a clip that we'll play in just a little bit that's from the show that we did about tribes, which is one of our best shows.
It was. I agree with that.
Still one of my favorites. I still remember back to it. And when I was listening to it, pulling out clips, I actually ended up with a bigger chunk than I had intended, but that's okay. We'll just play part of it. But there was really a lot of that was talking about leadership. So as I thought about leadership and planned the show, I really thought back to that show on tribes. And what I still observe, as I had before, that I don't think that most people are thinking about being a leader, being the voice of a leader. Because I think people get into, well, this is, you know, my business, I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing with my business, and but they're not really thinking about the leadership aspect. You're not really thinking about the difference between just having a bunch of people who happen to come to your website or a crowd, right? You know, people who might have the same place, like people who might be at that event that you were at on New Year's Eve where there were, you know, I don't know, thousands of people there. And
tens of thousands. It was packed.
Tens of thousands of people, right. They were all over this beach, all over this area, in the various restaurants and shops and whatever, and the only common purpose was to be there for that event, right? They had sub-conversations going, you know, cluster, you and Bill were talking, and this cluster was talking, and that cluster was talking, and whatever. But essentially, it's not the same thing as you would be talking about having that expert voice and that voice of a leader that you have in your business and pulling people together, not just as a bunch of people who happen to be on your website, but into a true tribe.
And really, that's what you're doing in your business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're building a business that's using the internet in any way, shape, or form, that's what it's all about. You're building a very loyal following of prospects and customers that really are a community, and you are the leader of that community. That's what social media and social marketing is really all about. It's about building that tribe.
Right, and even relationship marketing, it's not just that you're building the one-on-one relationships, which of course you are in any event. Of course you're doing that too. But that's just not where it stops. And I think that's
correct.
A really good reminder to think about. And for everyone who's listening, to ask yourself, whether you're just starting your business or thinking about it, or whether you're a little bit down the road, to go, what am I doing that shows that I am a leader? You know, not only a thought leader in my industry, but also a leader guiding the people who come to me. And what am I doing to build that tribe? How do you see that playing out with your students, Gina?
I think it takes them a long time to really find the voice of an expert within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could start out by thinking of themselves as a leader and really think about themselves building this community or tribe, I think it would be a lot easier to find the voice of an expert within.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. That's actually part of what I was thinking about, is that because the voice of an expert, it's like everybody knows they need to express that they know they need to be the expert. I mean, that I've heard people go, yeah, I know I need to find my voice, or I need to be the voice of an expert. But then when it comes to doing it, there's a lot of hesitation, a lot of head stuff. And maybe thinking about it as leadership can make it a little bit easier to realize.
And it's a very good idea. Very good idea.
So that's kind of where my meditations on that topic of leadership will go to. And I think that might really help people. So maybe feeling like you have to be the expert, you have to be the expert, quote unquote, is intimidating to people. Whereas if you think about it, as you get to be that one who leads people to what it is that they need that will make their lives better, and you, with your knowledge and expertise, get to be the one who does that. Perhaps
mm-hmm.
that is intimidating to people. And it'll be interesting to hear from, you know, from your students and from others as we go along, does that distinction help make it easier for you to think about guiding people?
I can't wait to hear.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting to hear about that from people.
If you're in the chat room today on the show, feel free to drop us a note and let us know whether or not that makes it easier for you.
Yep. Yes, absolutely do that. So, yeah, and think about that. So can you be a leader? Can you focus less on, if being the expert is intimidating to you, can you think about leading people to something that will make their lives better?
Mm-hmm.
Leading people to feeling better, to having more of what they want, whatever it is that you happen to do in your business. You think about it in that way, you come to very much the same end. A lot of times what my observation is with human beings is that the human mind is wonderful and powerful and amazing. And sometimes the human mind can be one of the biggest stumbling blocks because the mind gets all tangled up with ego and with all this head stuff and whatever versus just going and being present in that moment and doing. And so giving the mind a little workaround or maybe tricking it just a little bit might be something that can help if you find that your head is getting in your way of things that you know you have to do. So that might be a way to think of it that's easier to handle.
So do you want to play that clip now?
Yes, I do. I was just, there we go. Just took me a minute to find it. I don't find this console that easy to use for a blind person.
I don't either.
You're sighted and you don't. And I just put it in there. I finally just had to refresh the page because I didn't see it in there. So what I'm going to do is play this clip. And this was from our show on Tribes. Tribes, by the way, is a book, and it's a fabulous book. And I was actually thinking about picking it up and going through it again to see all those places that I had underlined and highlighted and starred and stuff the first time that I read it. It is a very good book and an excellent reminder. So here is the clip from our Tribe show. And Gina and I will be back with everybody, but just check this out. And here are these thoughts on leadership. There is no leadership in a crowd. And you think about a tribe, one of the biggest things that distinguishes a tribe, one of them, you know, more than one, but one is leadership.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
So if we think about a tribe in the offline world, like the Cherokee tribe or the Seminole tribe, you do have at least one chief in there, and sometimes you have many chiefs and an even higher up chief, right?
There's often a chief and a council if you're talking about a tribe, a cultural tribe. And in terms of other arenas in offline, when you talk about or think about perhaps a movement or a political party, you have the Democrats, Republicans, or whatever political party you can pick anywhere in the world, the concept is the same. There's a political party. There is leadership there. It's not just among the leadership, it's not only that they are Republicans or Democrats or whatever they are, but there is definitely leadership. There is a certain reason that people come together. There is some kind of a unifying tie or belief or cause that brings them together.
Well, a unifying goal, I guess, would be a good way to say it.
Yeah, there's
a platform and a purpose.
Right, yes.
Yeah, when you're at a concert, you've got the unifier of you're all there to watch the show, mm-hmm. but you're there for different reasons watching the show. You're not necessarily all there for the same reason. I might go to a concert because I really like the music. Somebody else might go to the concert just because they want to hang out with the people that are going to be there. But we don't all go there for the same reason.
Right. And there's no common goal that's going to come out at the end of it. We're not there to cause something to happen. We're not there to cause a change.
Right.
We're not there to create something. We're not there to, you know, whatever it is, to try to influence people to vote a certain way, whatever. We're not there for anything other than being at a concert or a game or something. And I might be there because somebody bought me a ticket, and I don't really like the music that much, but, you know, they had the ticket, so I was there. You never know why somebody was there. There's no unifying purpose, really, in a crowd other than just the happenstance of whatever's going on at that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so with the tribe, we have leadership. And we have a common goal and a common purpose where something is supposed to happen because of this coming together, other than just passively observing.
And we have a conversation taking place.
Yes.
That many, many, many people are taking part in all at the same time.
Yes.
There can, just like in a crowd, there can be separate little conversations taking part within the bigger conversation, but those are just asides. They're still part of the bigger conversation.
Absolutely.
And so how does this apply online, Ms. Rhonda?
Well, if it doesn't matter if your business is online or offline or both or, you know, whatever, how it applies online is there are a lot of people who think that just by being a part of something like Twitter or Facebook and having an account, that makes you part of some kind of a meaningful tribe, some kind of a meaningful conversation going on, or that you're going to grow your business automatically just because you use the tool, because you're on Facebook along with millions of other people, or because you're on Twitter or whatever. That in and of itself does not necessarily mean that you are demonstrating any leadership whatsoever.
It just makes you part of the crowd.
Exactly. And that's why, this is why, really why I had wanted us to share some things about tribes and about leadership with people, because there's this piece of finding your expert voice and really stepping up as a leader in your niche where people are often holding themselves back from doing that.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been reading the book Tribes by Seth Godin, and one of the things he talks about is why it is that people don't step up in leadership and in that tribal sense rather than just being one of the crowd.
Oh, what do you have to say about that? Because I haven't read the book.
It's actually very good. I have a lot of things underlined and starred and all kinds of good stuff in there. But what he says about why is it that people don't step up in leadership, and I was wondering that myself. Well, he says that it's because of fear of criticism. It's not even so much fear of failure, but it's fear of criticism, and no one has to have experienced any kind of criticism to feel that and hold themselves back.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I can't risk somebody just not agreeing with what I have to say. What if they don't like me?
Right. What if I offend somebody? What if I upset somebody? And people worry about that all the time. And every once in a while, someone will come up to me and go, you know, so-and-so just thinks you're too direct. And I said, well, I'm not going to change who I am and how I operate. If they think I'm too direct, I'm obviously not the person for them. And they're like, oh, you're kidding. Well, no, what do you want me to do? Be Gumby for everybody? I mean, you know.
Here's the thing. You hear me talk about this all the time, and I referenced it back in the last radio show about being an expert and an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Said that there's a very clear defining line on the FGGG.com/blog that defining line occurred back in March or April of 2007,
mm-hmm.
and I'd gotten into an argument about being a snob.
Uh-huh.
Prior to that time, I really believed, in my heart of hearts, I believed that you needed to be someone who really wasn't necessarily controversial. Someone that, you know, for the most part, people really agreed with because
mm-hmm.
we're agreeing with them. And what I realized during that discussion about being a snob and in the determination that what it takes is having an air of authority,
right.
What I realized was that that also, by definition, means that from time to time, you necessarily need to be controversial.
Yep.
You don't want to be doing things in a way that everyone's going to agree with you all of the time.
Right.
If you are truly to be seen as an expert and an influencer, then by golly, it's important to have an opinion,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. You cannot be both things to both sides.
That's right.
So you have to be able to clearly state an opinion and stick to it.
Right.
That's what being an influencer is all about.
And be willing to state that opinion, not with the, well, I think that it's this way. You have to be able to say, boom, this is how it is.
Yes.
You just have to be willing to say that and willing whatever the consequence is. And frankly, if you're in business, you should polarize people. And frankly, when you do polarize people and get people, even if they disagree with you and they do it publicly, let it happen. It brings you more traffic.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. And many times that controversy really is something that does bring more traffic, more sales, more everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are you absolutely positively going to alienate some people?
Yep.
Absolutely. But that's a good thing, guys. Not only do you want that, it's a good thing.
Yep.
Because those who really agree with you are going to be drawn to you in an even bigger, stronger way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes to truly create evangelists for your business.
Right. And that having evangelists is another thing that distinguishes the tribe from the crowd. It's another important distinction. But the thing is, the only way to have evangelists is if you, as the business owner, are willing to polarize, are willing to stand for whatever it is that you stand for, and whatever is not part of how you're going to do business, you have to be able to let that go. And Gina, you know, I was thinking about this, and another reason I really was into talking about tribes for us on the show today was I believe that there are too many people who do not spend enough time and energy into considering who their ideal customer is.
Oh boy, Rhonda, do I agree with you on that one.
And here's what happens with regards to tribes. Okay, Gina, I'm just going to talk about it. And you, if you agree with me or not, just let me know. But here's what I say. Here's what happens. Somebody is new and they go, oh, well, my business could fit a lot of different people, so I don't really want to eliminate or exclude people, so I'm going to keep it as broad as possible. And, yeah, sure, I'm going to offer this kind of coaching or do that kind of business or whatever. But they say, I don't want to narrow it too much. And if I get too specific, then I'm not going to have enough customers. And so then they proceed from a sense of lack and fear of lack and fear of criticism and not wanting to polarize and not wanting to offend. And they don't spend enough time in nailing down exactly who is their audience. See, if I come up and I ask you, who is your ideal customer, you should be able to say, my ideal customer is blah, 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 within one or two sentences without hemming or hawing.
Specifically, not just women.
Right, you can't just say women between the ages of 9 and 300.
Yeah. And you can't even say just women, all women, between the ages of 20 and 30.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't.
That isn't enough. It's just a crowd. It's not a tribe.
Right. There's nothing much unifying women of a 10-year age span just that by themselves, unless you're talking about soap, I guess, maybe. But, you know, you're not going to have a big tribe around soap, probably. And even that, there's going to be customization. Think about Ben and Jerry's ice cream, for example. The interesting thing about those two is that they took this concept of a gourmet ice cream, which is usually like, ooh, we're snobby, we're elite, we're select. And they made it like a movement, and they made it a community, the ice cream for the common person. And so they did their advertising and everything. It wasn't geared at the exclusivity snob type of crowd. It was geared But at just the general person and the way that they name the ice creams, the way that they talk, just it was dealing with a certain aspect.
And they have many tribes, each tribe being geared around an ice cream.
Exactly, and certain flavors and the ones that you like and whatever. People are very passionate and into the specific things around that. For your business, it has to be the same. And where I see people going wrong in a big way is in the aspect of figuring out who is your ideal customer. And I've really, especially coming from loving to write fiction, I think you should really do it just as if you were going to write a novel.
And, you know, I want to go back to Ben and Jerry's for a second because this is an important thing to mention.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the way that Ben and Jerry's started, they didn't start out with all the flavors that they have today.
Of course not.
They started out with a handful of flavors.
Mm-hmm.
A few audiences that they were going to target. And over time, as they got the formula right, as they figured out what magic they needed to cause in order to attract the right people, they expanded. And they didn't add 20 different flavors at one time.
Nope.
They'd add one
at a time.
And each time they'd get that one going, they'd go out and expand to yet another one. And it's the exact same thing you want to do in your business.
Right.
You want to get the formula right.
Right.
Figure out what magic needs to be there in order to really make it work to get the results you're looking for, and then expand out to another tribe. And those tribes are part of one tribe, but it's different crowds within a single tribe, I guess would be a good way to say it. Right, Rhonda?
Yeah, different sub-tribes, if you will, within that tribe. Because there's this larger tribe of people who like Ben and Jerry's. And then there's the flavors, and they did a number of things that are really ingenious that it's very good to do in your business. For one, they didn't start with a catalog of 26 different products.
Right.
I know some people who they want to wait till they have, and they put up a website, and they've never tested anything, and they go, well, I'm a speaker about blah, 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 and they get a set of DVDs, a set of CDs, two or three different books, an e-book, and whatever and whatever. And they have like a thing of 26 different products, and they just puke it all down onto one page on their website, and they wonder why the stampede is not happening.
Where's the nails on a chalkboard?
Oh, that just makes me go. Ben and Jerry's, I think they had 6 flavors or something. It wasn't very many. I might be not right on the number.
I think it was 5, actually.
5, okay. Yeah, so they had a handful of flavors. And one other thing they did ingenious, besides that they started and they grew one at a time, which is always good, is that they had wonderful names and they did things that were unique. They put together unusual combinations. One of the things that makes people want to evangelize for you is we just brushed on that earlier, that evangelism component, which is part of what makes a tribe, is that you have some of these very unique aspects to your tribe. And you can talk about that and share that with people who are also part of the tribe, and it helps to bind you together. It makes people want to talk about you and evangelize whatever it is. So if it's the newest flavor or how unusual the combinations are or whatever, that gets people talking. And once it starts talking, it spreads, the idea spreads around, and the tribe is able to.
Oh, I just thought of the offline example that makes it easier to understand the tribes within the tribes.
Okay.
In American Indian culture,
right,
you have a nation, and the nation is comprised of many tribes.
Yes, uh-huh.
So, for example, we were recently up in Niagara Falls at the Seneca Niagara Casino.
Right.
And the Seneca is a nation.
Right.
Within the Seneca Nation, there are many different tribes. The Cherokees are part of the Seneca Nation. Honey, what were some of those other tribes within the Seneca Nation? The Mohawks were part of the Seneca Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And each tribe has their own evangelists. They have their own things going on. They have their own goals and their own platforms. But yet they're all a part of the bigger nation that also has a conversation and evangelists and their own platforms and their own goals.
Tribal council and all the rest of it, the same.
Yes.
Also, yes. What people often call the Sioux. You have the Lakota, the Dakota, the Nakota. They're all different tribes within the same nation. So there is a common conversation as well as what's happening in the subgroups.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the same kind of thing that happens within Ben and Jerry's.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have the whole Ben and Jerry's culture, and then you have the Chunky Monkey culture and the something Garcia.
Jerry's Garcia people, and yes, exactly.
Right. And whatnot. And they are the separate groups within the larger group. And Chubby Hubby, as Bill likes to say.
Chubby Hubby, okay.
And so how do we cause this in our businesses, Rhonda?
Well, causing this, the biggest thing is stepping up and being the leader.
It really is.
I'm sorry,
it
guys,
really
I got to tell you. Because you may not want to hear, you actually have to be willing to be a leader even before you really think that you have a tribe to lead.
Ooh, that's big.
Dina, that's big. That's like the biggest reason that I was thinking about this show and why I wanted just to do it with us. And, you know, yeah, we'll have other people on in the future and on it and stuff too. But, I mean, really the thing is that just like with a goal, Gina, you know that with going after a goal, you have to be willing to pay the price for success or for whatever you want in advance before whatever it is has shown up.
Absolutely.
The same exact principle applies to tribes. You have to be willing to be the leader even when you're starting off on your little lonesome self and you've just put up your first blog post or you're still figuring out your, you know, whatever, and you're getting your business plan put together and you're knowing what your goals are and you're knowing where you're heading. You have to be willing at that moment in the beginning when nobody knows your name, when nobody knows who you are, to go ahead and step up in leadership and be willing to say, here's what I believe, here's how we're going to do this, here's the system that's going to make such and so easier.
And quite frequently, I have people who come to me and they'll say things like, well, you know, I don't want my name to show up on your social network, or I don't want my real name to show up on your forum. Well, you know, it's going to be really tough for you to be perceived as the leader if you're not even willing to let your name get out there.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Right.
If you aren't going to be the leader of this tribe, then who is?
Exactly.
There we go. So that's a piece of our tribe show, and, you know, a great piece of that on leadership. If you aren't willing to be the leader, who is?
Great question. And it is a big issue that I see so often with my students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I don't want to put my name out there. I don't want to put my phone number out there. I don't want to put my address out there. Well, if you're not going to put yours out there, who are you going to put out there? You've got to be building relationships if you're really going to make this business succeed, and I don't know of any other way to do it.
Right. Yeah, and because if you do put up something that's false or just a name, people are going to figure out at some point they're going to feel that disconnect. And even, okay, see, I'm also a fiction writer. And even when creating a character for fiction, that character has to be so three-dimensional and so believable that you're probably hearing about this character, watching them do what they do, and they feel so real. You can imagine, oh, I know so-and-so is a lot like that person or whatever. But you need to be that person. Putting up a false front just really does not work.
Well, you know, I know of a couple of internet marketers who really wanted to hide behind someone else. They created fictitious characters, put the fictitious character's name on their sales page, on their products, etc., and they actually got themselves in big trouble because of it.
Mm.
So you're not just going to run into issues with your prospects not feeling you and not wanting what you've got to offer. in certain niches, you could really run into issues that could literally put you in jail by trying to highlight that.
Yeah, I can imagine certain niches in particular. And when we say this, you know, to our listeners, don't think that this is just something we're trying to scare you falsely or whatever. I mean, things like that happen. And because we're talking relationship marketing, that does mean being real.
It really does.
Authentic. Yeah, so that becomes really important. So,
and your results will show if you really put yourself out there in a way that builds relationships.
Yep. One of my cats just walked up to Molly, meowed in her face, and then rubbed her face. It was so cute.
Oh, how funny.
Well, it was really sweet. Trippy just walked up. If you heard that meow, that was Trippy. Molly's lying on the kitchen floor, and Trippy walked by her, meowed at her, and then rubbed her chin. Oh, so cute.
How is Miss Molly doing?
Miss Molly's doing reasonably well. She is 9.5 years old and mostly retired, and she just got over a bad bout with her allergies and is doing better now. But it's tough, hard watching them get old.
It is.
It definitely is. But Trippy is her pet cat, and Trippy loves to go over and snuggle with her, walk up and rub Molly's face with her own face and stuff like that, and it's really cute. Relationship marketing, feline canine style.
When I was growing up, we had a dog by the name of Blackie who was part terrier and part poodle. And when I got older and got married and moved away, I got a cat whose name was Happy. And when I would go back to my parents' house, Happy just loved Blackie to pieces. And every time I would go there, the two of them would just be inseparable. When it was time to leave, Happy would just cry. She didn't want to leave Blackie. Well, when I got into law school, Blackie was getting up in years. He actually made it to 20 years old, believe it or not. He was about 19.5. And by the time Happy and I got there when he was 19.5, Blackie wasn't moving around very much at all. He was just kind of laying on the sofa. For 7 straight days, Happy would not budge from Blackie. She laid curled around him for 7 straight days. And when he did finally pass at the age of 20, we had gone back home to say goodbye. Happy would not let us take Blackie to the vet. She had to come with us to bring him to the vet to be put down. And she literally curled around him on the vet's table as he passed away. It was amazing to see the synergy between them. They were so connected.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
It was really neat.
I love that. We used to have a cat, a stray cat, who was feral. We could never get him to come up to us very much, but he loved the chickens. His name was Julius. And if you look on my YouTube channel, I have a couple of videos of the cat and the hens or the cat and the rooster. And my whole thing is, you know, these creatures should be one chasing the other. They should be a natural enemy. They should not like each other.
They really should be.
But they can get along just fine. I mean, even if the cat and the chicken is almost as big as the cat, you know, size-wise, the weight was a little less. But so even if they didn't, you know, hurt each other, you would still expect the cat to chase after a bird. He never did, and he couldn't wait for me to open the door to the coop in the morning. He would lie like a lion sprawled across a branch of the tree that was about 4.5 feet off the ground. And he'd lay there, and when I would come out to let him out, he'd be like, well, hurry up. Come on, open him up. I want my chickens. And he'd walk around and smooth with them. And so when you think about that, the people can be very different, and yet they have that common bond.
Well, and that's really what it's like in your business, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why we use those examples. They're unusual, and yet, when you think about those kinds of parallels, creatures that should hate each other or be natural enemies coming together, people that can be, even if they wouldn't hate each other, just be very different, almost seeming like a different species, although in this case of humans, they wouldn't be a different species, just maybe a different race or different belief systems or whatever, all coming together in a tribe, just like with how to live. Are people who are very conservative Christians. There are people who are spiritual but not religious. There are people who aren't religious or spiritual at all but just want to live on purpose. There are Catholics. There are people of many different faith paths. There are some who are Native American. There are many who are not, most who are not, and yet all coming together in that type of a tribe for their business as opposed to being a American Indian Nation tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Great example.
Yeah, so think of that for your business too, as you'll have different people who will be interacting in different ways. And you are there as the glue, as that leader.
So how does someone become a leader in their business, Rhonda?
How someone becomes a leader, what I say is that if you are simply true to yourself and to what's important to you, not by forcing it on someone else, not by taking away anything from anyone else, but simply by being true to who you are and to what's important to you, that in and of itself makes you the leader.
Good way to say it.
True leadership is never taking something away from here so that it's bigger and better over there. True leadership is always about authenticity, and it's about speaking your mind and about having that opinion and not being afraid to have that opinion, right? But it really is
mm-hmm.
a lot about being true to the path that you know that you are meant to walk, whether you feel that's purpose or destiny or however you want to define that. But being true to that, having enough conviction to be true to that. What would you say how someone can bring out and become a leader?
I think you said that very well, Rhonda. That's exactly it. In so many instances, I see people who really want to have businesses of their own, who get started doing something, but really haven't put much thought into the idea of being an expert or a leader in their business. And so they think that they can hide behind the face of someone else. A lot of times these are people who end up thinking that they're going to become affiliate marketers just because being an affiliate means somebody else can be building the relationship. While you can hide behind a product creator's face or brand instead of creating your own products, that doesn't mean that you can really only let the relationship be built between that brand and the product creator and the prospect. There are lots and lots of affiliate marketers out there. Why would someone want to buy from you instead of your competition? Well, it's because of the relationship. So if you're not out there building a community and a tribe, building relationships, even as an affiliate marketer, it usually means that they're going to go buy from your competition and not from you. It's this piece, it's the community, it's the relationship that makes them want to buy from you instead of the next affiliate offering the same product.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So be willing to be who you are.
Build it into the plan is my answer.
Yeah, build it into the plan. Be who you are. And realize that there is no substitute for you being you.
Absolutely.
There is none whatsoever.
There really isn't.
And that's really one piece of the tribe show that there were a lot of pieces I could have pulled out, but, you know, it's really people are looking for someone to take that leadership and to help them, especially they're looking for a solution to a problem. They are, by definition, need leadership, because if they didn't, they would already have the problem solved.
Correct.
They wouldn't need you, right? So by definition, the people who would be coming to somebody with your business, whether it's coaching or whatever it is that you're doing in your business, they're coming to you because they need leadership. They have a problem. They have something that's missing, something they want to change, something they want to improve or make better in some way. And they're looking to you. Are you going to be the one who will guide them? That's what they want.
Great way to say that.
Awesome. I'm glad we could touch on leadership, and we did that tribe show a while back, and I was reminded of what a good show it was while I was going through it to pull out the clips.
It really was awesome. Can we give folks a reminder as to when that was so that they can find it easier?
We could, if Rhonda had thought to pay attention to that. Give me a second. I'll put it into the show notes.
Outstanding.
It's definitely
one of the shows that you want to go back and listen to in full, as you heard in the clip. It's a really powerful show. The book was amazing. The concept is really what social media and social marketing is all about.
Yes. It definitely is. So, yeah, absolutely. And I will get that that show for us. Let's see. It was in October of 2009, October 27th, roundabout of 2009.
It was that long ago?
Can you believe it?
No, I really can't, Rhonda. Holy cow.
I didn't remember when that show was. I just kind of...
I would have said it was a year ago.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking it was somewhere in the last part, or at least the middle of 2010, or the last part of it. No, here it was, back in 2009. Oh, my gosh, you know.
Man, how time flies when you're having fun. Holy cow.
Yeah, 2.5 years. I started hosting the show in June of that year, so oh, my gosh, wow. So, but yeah, that was a great show. I will put that link into the show notes in just a moment here for us. Definitely go and listen to that one. It was a great show with, and the book Tribes is definitely a must read, and one of those to go back and pick up again if you have read it a long time ago, and at least scan through and familiarize yourself, because there are lots of terrific nuggets in there.
Yeah, one of the best shows ever, I think.
I agree. We really do need to turn that show into a product, Gina.
You know, we should still do that, Rhonda. It's still just as pertinent today. That's the really cool thing. Over 2 years ago, and every word of that show applies just as much today as it did when we first created it.
And the whole rest of the show did, too. It was just like, wow, this could have been done yesterday and just be as accurate and as pertinent and timely now, which is great. I love things that are that universal, that, you know, even a couple of years later, it still makes a difference.
Well, just like the Diana Kushner show that we replayed clips from recently, you know, that show was about a year ago. And, again, another example of something that's really timeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Definitely. Relationship marketing is timeless. There is always the time is now for building relationships with people. That will never change.
You know, the tactics of how to build relationships might change ever so slightly. We'd use blogs today instead of a traditional HTML website. We have Facebook and Twitter as tools. Years ago, it was MySpace and Second Life. But the principles of relationship marketing really are timeless. They never change. And that's really the core of what you learn in the 30-Day IM Challenge at 30dayimchallenge.com.
Awesome. And we thank everybody for listening and growing your business. In, as always, you know, leave us a comment, give us a 5-star rating, let us know what it is that you really want and need to know. And we'll look forward to continuing to serve you through 2012. What an exciting new year. I love this.
Thanks so much, Rhonda. We'll be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Have a great new year, everyone, and have a great week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.